This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is Connie Goodell Newton with Bob Fetrakis on The Other Side of the News.
And we've got a guest in the studio today, do we not?
Yes, we have Nettle from Earth First.
Okay, Nettle, let me be direct. You think we should be respectful of the Earth first?
Yeah, but let's take care of each other also.
Okay. What sets Earth First apart from other organizations? Often Earth First, you see what appear to be large sensational encounters with the forces of development.
How do I feel Earth First is significant to the other groups of direct action or
sure.
kind of other nonprofits?
I mean, you've got, you know, we've had the Sierra Club on the show. We've got different groups, Greenpeace. How do you perceive yourself in the environmental movement? Are you deep ecology?
Yes, definitely. Deep ecology is definitely a really important philosophy that I feel a lot of Earth Firsters really connect to. Deep ecology as well as biocentrism. Earth First is a very decentralized movement. Anybody can start a group in their local community. It's really important that people are working locally on the issues that are affecting them. And then we come together as a nation and internationally through the Earth First Journal, which has an international coverage as well as international circulation. And we see this umbrella that unifies us. And it's really this sort of no compromise in defense of Mother Earth. So where we see interesting different ways that how Sierra Club is run as a business, how Greenpeace is run as a business. Earth First is not a business. This is a movement. It's not even an organization. We don't have members. We don't have dues. If anything, your due is to, like, subscribe if you can. We ask people, you know, to really support the Earth First Journal, which is the voice of the radical deep ecology movement, you know, the no compromise movement.
So what kinds of things, for our listeners out there, what kinds of things do you publish in the Earth First Journal?
Awesome. Yeah, the Earth First Journal, so now we're looking at 32 years in print, and I'm really lucky that the University of Minnesota is undertaking an awesome project of publishing the best of the Earth First Journal. So we recently sent them an archive. We house the archive in Fresno with a professor from Fresno State University, and we really do get a lot of academics. Over the 30-year history, we've had a lot of academics write, and we get every issue that goes by in our day, say an issue in production, we have people that are working on their masters and PhDs, and they contact us and say, we know Earth First was writing about this 20 years ago. Can you send us some back issues? So that's really cool. We're definitely a completely independent publication. We have no censorship. Right now, we're writing a lot about the wolves, the war on the wolves that's going on in this country. We always have international coverage. We have continuously for 30 years covered the struggles of indigenous communities, native communities all over the world who have also been resisting corporations and resource extraction that are completely infringing on their right to just live in their natural habitat.
So you talk about resource extraction. The pivotal philosophical point of deep ecology has to be what one's relationship to the ecology, to the earth, to the ecosystem. In some ways, haven't we already lost? Is it possible to restore any of that biodiversity that was here, you know, before the planet was conquered by the conquistadors, the people from Europe?
Right. Yeah, it's really sad. We're definitely at a point of no return as far as, you know, losing 100 to 200 species a day. The Center for Biological Diversity is working really hard on habitat and species protection. And a lot of Earth Firsters are out there doing the same. Earth First campaigns are often very involved with land surveying, finding the spotted owl nests that the timber companies have ignored to say, you know, this is a legit timber sale. You know, this is where we do a lot of winnings in our court cases, because we're doing the land surveying. We're proving that these endangered species are, in fact, inhabiting the native and old growth forests that they want to fell. And those cases really do stand up in court today, because the Endangered Species Act does have some leg to stand on in the U.S. government, which is lucky for us in a lot of cases. Deep Ecology definitely believes in the fact, or the philosophy of Deep Ecology says that humans do not have an importance or a hierarchy over the planet or the animals. So Earth Firsters really see themselves as just one third of that very interesting pyramid. I mean, also, there's a lot of Earth Firsters who are misanthropes and, you know, feel that humans are killing the planet. We're the root of all evil kind of thing, and they want to see people stop having babies. But, you know, not every Earth Firster has the same philosophy, and that's also really awesome. We're not a homogenized, you know, movement, and there's a lot of individualism, but I think everybody does really vibe with Deep Ecology, and they're working on a very local level with that, you know. So people in the Everglades, they're working to protect the endangered species that have made the list in their area, but they're also looking for the species that aren't on the list and advocating to get them on the list. And again, the Center for Biological Diversity, who we work closely with, is huge advocates in that way too, really the ones putting, you know, let's get this next species on the list and get it protected. So we do, you know, I think Earth Firsters are really connected to the plants and the trees and the animals in their bioregion, and they're the ones really noting the decline.
The Dominionists, and there's Christian Dominionists that have argued that, you know, it's God's will that we dominate the whole planet. In fact, James Watts, during the Reagan years, I know Earth First dealt with this as well, argued that Jesus' imminent return was so close that we owed it, you know, the clear-cut, the old redwoods. So you've got that whole perspective. On the other hand, even more scary to me, and I don't know what Earth First position is, the notion not just of man dominating the planet, but corporations as artificial human beings, that corporations have the same rights as people. How does Earth First see that rather strange notion that legal fictions, corporations, multinational corporations, have similar rights to flesh and blood human beings?
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, it's hard for us. We definitely don't believe that, you know, corporations are people too, as Mitt Romney has, you know, said in his speeches. And I feel like we're kind of definitely removed, you know, from that rhetoric in the sense of how deeply we are connected to the planet. Any religion that's saying that man has the right to destroy the planet for the greater good of man, you know, has also kind of removed themselves from some part of their own religious rhetoric that says that God created this beautiful earth. You know, I don't...
That we're custodians of the earth, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they're removed from their own, you know, original standpoint of saying, you know, God bless this beautiful planet or something. You know, it's not what... how I feel per se. You know, I find myself to, you know, I have my own, you know, morals and spirituality and things, but those things are very contradictory, and I think for us it's really easy to see the contradiction there. But corporations are definitely destroying the planet, resource extraction industries, and I always like to bring, as far as the Earth First Journal goes, as an independent publication, I really like to say that the people who are destroying the planet are the same people that are owning the media, you know. So it's very interesting how little people all across the country of even just the U.S. are familiar with mountaintop removal mining, with the art of hydrofracking. You know, all the different things that are mined, how much water is used, the homes, you know, the people that are being evicted, to do hydraulic fracking. So locally, you'll know what's going on because it's affecting you. But it's not necessarily what you're seeing on your local news. And it's definitely not what people are seeing on the other side of the country about your bioregion. So it has been very interesting. I did travel parts of the country with the Beehive Design Collective's gorgeous graphic, The True Cost of Coal, which is an amazing illustration that is a teaching tool to teach us all about what's going on with mountaintop removal mining, which is just devastating Appalachia, which is, you know, the oldest mountain range in the world, and just absolutely spectacular. And we've lost, through mountaintop removal mining, we've lost over 400 peaks that have just been blasted off where we used to do deep mine coal mining, which is super historic, you know, to U.S. history. It's just now, it was easier to blast the mountain. So it used to take 200 people to deep mine, and now it takes 8 people to blast a mountain and get a digger and just scrape that coal out of the bed of the mountain. Hmm. And they've filled over 2,000 streams, natural flowing streams and drinking water, with these valley fills of everything that used to be a mountaintop.
So I'd definitely like to hear more about kind of the role of the media in protecting these corporations, and then how the Earth First Journal local radio stations like WCRS, you know, how we can kind of fight back with our smaller media power. The new journal, it looks like it's in a new format the past year or two, and it's a beautiful glossy magazine.
I'd love to touch on that. It was really fun to celebrate 30 years of Earth First. We put a beautiful 2-volume compilation together. We just really went back in time. We found some great articles to reprint. We did these huge timelines to really show people some of the struggles and the victories. Over 30 years, we got a lot of great content that just we got really flooded with, you know. So we said, let's just do these 2 volumes. And I was a part of producing the very last newspaper we did. So the Earth First Journal has predominantly been a newspaper over the 32-year history. And when it moved to Tucson in 2001, it became a bound publication and really stepped up its kind of notoriety for, you know, being in Borders Books and being a little bit more accessible. But we do have subscriptions to libraries across the country, Harvard University, and, you know, all these great universities and libraries are subscribed.
And the Sport Print Info Shop in Columbus, Ohio.
Exactly.
Also subscribes to the Earth First Journal.
Yes, thank you so much for your local support and for having us here today. Independent media is definitely the way forward. Print media is not dead. That was a big hype that was created through the electronic world. People like to think that the internet is more eco-friendly than print media, which is also another hoax. Let's all swim through all of these
mm-hmm.
lies
yeah.
and find our path, you know, to really what is sustainable and ecological. So the Earth First Journal is produced on 100% recycled newsprint, which is very eco-friendly. It has returned to a bound publication. We're now a quarterly. 30 years ago, it was 8 times a year on point with the Celtic calendar, and we still recognize the calendar as we produce the quarterly 4 times a year, spring, winter, summer, fall. And then we have a cross-quarter newsletter that you can find on our awesome newswire, which is an online newswire.earthfirstjournal.org, and a daily news feed. You can follow that on Twitter, through your email, and it's really awesome. It's got lots of direct actions, news. We're connected with the Center for Biological Diversity, so we're getting that great biodiversity plug almost on the daily. One of the former editors of the Earth First Journal is now working at the Center for Biological Diversity. So I do obviously really recognize their importance. And So as far as print media goes, print media remains one of the most independent sources of media. And then we have radio also, local radio and print media, as well as the internet. The internet, of course, is looking at all of this really disgusting SOPA and PIPA. I mean, it's still happening. We defeated it, and it's still coming back.
This is The Other Side of the News with Connie Goodell-Newton and Bob Fitrakis on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Yeah, so it's been really scary. I personally find that lobbyists in the U.S. is one of the greatest infringements on our democracy, because we defeated PIPA and SOPA, which I won't explain at this time because I feel that your listeners are aware of these two acts that are trying to move forward by the corporations.
These are the internet acts.
These are acts that are trying to prevent people from being able to freely communicate, be free journalists, and actually just have their own ownership over their own emails.
Yeah, part of it, too. There's been an ongoing battle for years that our listeners know about, the net neutrality. Mm-hmm. Right now, our site that Connie's on the board and I edit, freepress.org, if you put in a search for it, comes up as number two or three in the world under Free Press, two words, one word. If the corporations had their way, my site, which doesn't have paid staff collective, would come up much, much, much slower. So there are six corporations that control virtually all this. And I know Earth First is aware of this, but usually the two things I always argue is, number one, they're saving us from pornography and protecting children, or terrorism, is that you can't allow people to freely communicate. But many of these large corporations are tied into the largest terrorist apparatus on the earth, the military-industrial complex of the United States. It kills lots of people.
Yeah, I mean, that brings us to this really interesting definition of terrorism. The FBI, you know, we had a lot of help in getting Earth First removed from the FBI's domestic terrorist list.
Good
because,
job.
Thank you very much.
Is PETA still there?
Hopefully PETA has been removed as well.
Because they were one of the initial targets of Homeland Security.
And it's such a crime, you know, because the corporations really are the terrorists, but they have so much ownership over, you know, the government and our basic rights, you know. I mean, Enbridge had an oil spill in the Kalamazoo River. There was a cover-up, not a cleanup, and there was a whistleblower to say that their water was being poisoned because this was not a cleanup. And, you know, that person was fired, and now their case, luckily, is, you know, was able to go to court, and they were able to stand in front of a judge who usually are local and at times sympathetic.
Yes.
Because it is not okay for corporations who have the money to take care of their dirty business. When your dog poops on the sidewalk, it is asked of you to clean up your dog's poop, and you can be fined for not doing that. And on a huge scale, it's really important that corporations are held accountable for the same dirty business. If your pipeline erupts in the Kalamazoo River, I don't care if that oil is so-called sustaining America and keeping the power on. You know, it's not the Americans who want to keep the power on also want to drink healthy drinking water. This information.
And so does that judge. And for his family and neighbors,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. If we don't have water, what do we have? It's the source of all life, and we'll have to move out of Ohio if fracking takes hold in Ohio, and we have no drinking water. It's going to completely destroy the economy of Ohio and other local economies in other places. If there's no drinking water, you'll have to ship it in. It'll be very expensive, and people won't be able to live here.
Exactly.
It's going to be a wasteland.
One of the biggest sources of information kept from America is, besides what's actually happening, you know, besides what hydrofracking really is, you know, actually demystifying that, is the amount of water that's going into industry. So we're draining our natural aquifers here in the U.S. and really privatizing water, air, and soil. You know, Monsanto's gaining the land rights of so much soil. They're just polluting all, you know, so much of what we have to make us totally dependent on a world of chemicals. And so many of us don't want this. And everyday people are really disconnected as to how they can either prevent it or streamline their way around it. Same with, like, you know, independent media. It's just people think that, you know, that when they turn on Fox News, that they're just getting the news, but they're, you know, so much information is being kept from them. So anyways, just to get this point about water, locally in Pennsylvania, in New York, there was a campaign to save Riverdale, which is a trailer park that got evicted because of like Aqua America, who got this huge contract from a hydrofracking natural gas company to pump out 30 million gallons of water a day. And so this, you know, this whole community, losing their homes, losing their right to, you know, not just live where they want to live, because 30 million gallons of water needed to be pumped out a day for the sake of natural gas, which is being sold to the American people as the green alternative. You know, so there's a lot of lies here, and independent media sources like the Earth First Journal, which we greatly appreciate anybody's support, either on the newswire. We're looking at a minimum of 1,000 hits a day. We're looking to increase that. Subscriptions and donations are the backbone of the Earth First Journal. We're a very small nonprofit organization. There's only 5 of us that produce this publication, and it's super awesome. If you're looking for a great source of independent media on the ecological front, it's not just for radicals. We've got really great investigative journalism, really heartfelt writing is going on in these pages that you can find on our home site, earthfirstjournal.org, and anyone can contact us at collective@earthfirstjournal.org. And I definitely strongly support independent media through radio, and actually through, as I'm traveling across the country, just buying the local newspapers. Newspapers are really eco-friendly. They're the number one recycled media. Most newspapers are produced but from yesterday's news. So newspapers are recycled and producing the next day's news.
That's interesting. So they're used over and over again?
Yes.
Newspapers? That's great.
Yes. And I know that because we were producing the newspaper and working with the newspaper industry. And every year we were asked to bring in all of our copies, because we were told specifically not to just recycle them, that all the newspaper industry as a whole recycles their newspapers into the industry. So that's super awesome. And it's actually, when you're looking for printing, they want you to buy recycled paper, which is completely different than recycled newsprint. So just if you're out there and you're looking to start a publication or something, don't tell them you want recycled paper. Tell them you want newsprint.
And near and dear to many of our listeners is the advocacy of the legalization of hemp, because the newsprint would even be better. We understand the product grows like a weed, and that it produces fine quality print matter. Has your group done any analysis on sort of the outlawing of a product that could produce so many other products that compete with the petrochemical industry?
I haven't seen anything in recent years. I think it's a great, great campaign. And I think the American government's, war on the hemp plant is so sad. It's the same as the war on the electric car. You know, all of the alternatives. I've gone 25,000 miles on waste vegetable oil in a vegetable oil powered school bus, 2 national tours, and people all the time tell me, "Oh, you can't do that." Well, yes, you can. And then people tell me, "Oh, well, we can't all run our cars on waste vegetable oil." Well, I love to say, when I'm out about tabling, there is not one alternative. What we need to do is shut down the coal-burning power plants, no new nukes, shut down the nuke plants. We need to really come away from our dependency, our heavy dependency, our right, our so-called, quote-unquote, our right to keep the lights on, to keep the power on. If we all want to, you know, enjoy this planet, enjoy our lives together, we need to look at a huge reduction, which actually isn't that difficult. There could be a really great strategic plan, and I really kind of smile when I talk about it, because I think it's really easy to talk about a huge reduction and actually allowing Americans to understand what their personal consumption looks like, and not just kind of making it an option. It isn't an option anymore. We're looking at a really important need. We're looking at a huge decline in our ecosystems, which, you know, we're completely dependent on the oceans and trees for our oxygen. So all of this stuff is integral to our livelihood. Corporations cannot save our lives. Robots cannot save human existence. This is a beautiful planet, and let's work really hard to protect the wild, which is actually a huge main focus of Earth First, which I always just really try and bring it back to, is that we're about fighting the resource industry, who are totally taking away from our wild spaces. So that's really important to Earth First. You know, it's not just what's going on in the cities and locally. We do really work to protect the wilderness.
What do you make of the movements in places like Detroit to return a lot of the land there to orchards and to grow food and trees on them once again?
Oh, yes. Let's do it. Let's experiment and start seeing what it means to have sustainable cities. Let's see what it means to have towns that are oil-free. I think that there's a lot of places that want to go there. Something that's really interesting is if you're producing your own power, you have to plug it into the grid. So the system, the government, really wants you dependent on, you know, and really locked in. But we want to see some decentralization. You know, we want to see some succession. We want to see how state nations and cities can really kind of start to see what it looks like to do it on our own. Let's grow our own food. Let's produce our own power. You know, let's make up, you know, let's be self-governing. And let's do that together, because we're smart and we have the resources and the capabilities of doing that.
So there's the transition initiative where people are creating transition towns to transition off of oil. My mom is working in that project in France, so it's getting big in France and the UK. And there's actually also a transition initiative in Columbus, Ohio. And so my mom is working on things like planting local, planting orchards, so converting all of their ornamental plants to edible plants in her city, and the mayors and city officials in the area where she lives are actually consulting with my mom on how to be more eco-friendly. So it seems like they're making some progress there. I would like to see us do sort of the same thing in the United States and start, you know, really making a strategic plan for how we can reduce energy consumption and to work together to create orchards and food gardens
and return
in the
some
cities.
Of the native grasses and actual things that we're here for.
Yeah, in Detroit and Columbus and other places.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of role models out there. Europe, I lived overseas for 3.5 years. This was almost 7 years ago, and 7 years ago, it was against the law to sit in your car with the engine running. Okay, idling with the engine running. We have a lot of really awesome baby steps to make, and we have a lot of great role models out there. Unfortunately, the corporations own the U.S. government, you know, as well as the U.S. military, who is completely energy intensive industry. The, you know, 50% of the coal consumed by America is used by the U.S. military. You know, so while we can do our part by turning off the water when we're brushing our teeth, it's not actually us that are draining the aquifers, and it's not us that are blowing up the mountains. Although we do need to be conscious that it's not just coal that's keeping the power on, it's coal that's producing our clothing and keeping coal-burning power plants running.
And how do people get a hold of Earth First? What's the website And how do they join?
Yes, please find us on the web. EarthFirstJournal.org is our home site where you can read an archive of over 10 years of articles. Check them out. If you like what you're reading, please subscribe. We will actually soon have an electronic app available that you can be subscribed to the journal, to your Kindle or your iPhone, or, you know, through Amazon. And our awesome new daily newswire we've been going for a couple years is newswire.earthfirstjournal.org. You can email us, collective@earthfirstjournal.org. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Read your fair and balanced Earth news at earthfirstjournal.org. This has been The Other Side of the News with Connie Goodell-Newton and Bob Fetrakis on WCRS 98.3 102.1.